animal crackers in my poop.
I fucking dude, I had the same idea. It totally works because you think like something about, she says something about like in her bowl, and it's
that's
like
where they're gonna end up eventually.
Yeah,
in my bowel, perhaps.
Crapping out animals one by one.
What did we have? We had that song was on some cassette. Yeah, of some variety.
I was also trying to remember that. Because I knew the song, and I've never seen this fucking movie before.
Yeah,
I could not figure out why I knew this song. Like, did Mickey Mouse sing it on something? Or because we had a couple of those, right?
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if our dedicated listeners could chime in on this. Let us know if you guys remember where we would have known this song from.
Yeah, write an email about it.
Yeah. I'm Luke, by the way.
I'm Zach.
And we're brothers, and we watch free movies. And this week, I guess I should stop saying this week. This time,
it is a week right now.
That's like, true.
It could be any week. You don't know when we recorded this. Listen.
We watched Curly Top from 1934, starring, what's her name? Fucking Shirley Temple. For this show, which is called Broke Box Office.
Broke Box Office.
I know we had talked about, I meant to do this to like make Shirley Temples while I was watching the movie.
Oh yeah.
But I forgot to get the stuff for him, so I just didn't do that.
A Shirley Temple is what? Sprite and cranberry juice?
Grenadine.
Ah.
They're actually really good.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Although I had a different version, which is similar. I think it was called a Roy Rogers, which is Coca-Cola and grenadine. And I kind of like that a little bit better. It's like,
yeah, more complex.
I don't know. There's a piece of trivia that I think I looked up. I'm just going to say this. I don't remember if it's actually true or not, that Shirley Temple doesn't actually like Shirley Temples. And she would get like annoyed when people would always be like serve them to her.
That's funny. Yeah, man.
Maybe that's true.
She must have had an interesting life.
Yeah, dude, I was thinking that, like, especially because, like, you think, well,
yeah,
not to get too dark, but that Nickelodeon documentary that came out recently about all the shit they were doing to child actors, like,
yeah, just like 20 years ago.
Yeah, so in 1930, I can't imagine what kind of shit she had to put up with.
Well, I can start talking about her a little bit, I guess. Just talking about the cast. Yeah, like we mentioned, I think I had never seen a Shirley Temple movie before, so I was just interested to, you know. She stopped working as an actress in the early 60s. Her last credit is from 1963. She didn't pass away until 2014. So there was quite
a
bit of, you know, the latter part of her life.
Huh.
I don't know what she was up to.
Just coasting on residuals.
Yeah, I mean, I hope she was happy and I hope she had a great life because she gave a lot of people a lot of entertainment for a lot of years.
I hope she never had to drink another Shirley Temple again.
She is, like, I feel like they invented the term precocious for this girl because it's almost bizarre how well she tap dances.
Yeah. I was, like, surprised when she first busted it out. I was like, oh, shit,
it's
okay.
Crazy. Because her acting is, I don't know, it wasn't that distinct, in my opinion, from most other, you know, child actors.
Yeah.
She's fine, and she's cute or whatever, but, like, lots of kids are cute. But then once she started doing the dancing, I was like, oh, okay, that's the thing, I guess.
I wonder what it was that made her such a phenomenon amongst, like, I was also wondering, well, I guess maybe we can talk about this later, like, who is this movie for? Like, were her movies, like, for children? Or were they?
I think so. I want to say,
okay. I guess kids would like this. I don't know.
I was surprised to see that this and Annie neither are on her known for on IMDb.
Yeah, that is.
Which also, this is pretty much the same movie as Annie. But
yeah, I guess it is, huh? He's like an orphan.
Yeah.
Rich guy adopts her.
But yeah, you know, Bright Eyes, The Little Princess. Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm. I don't know what that is.
I'm sure these are all hits.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
She did just dozens and dozens of movies. Talk a little bit about some of the other casts. We have John Bowles, who plays Mr. Morgan, the rich guy. He is in Frankenstein.
Okay.
Is probably one of, you know, the most iconic movies of all time.
Yeah, that's plays... did you recognize him?
Mm-mm. No, he's kind of a side character. He plays Victor, who
Victor Frankenstein?
No. plays I haven't seen Frankenstein in quite a while, but I think he's the guy at the very beginning who talks to like the Mary Shelley character. So I think he's just in the very beginning of it.
Okay.
But, you know, he also did a bunch of other stuff. He passed away in 1969. Almost no one else from the movie lived past, like, the late 60s. So there's not, you know, a bunch of credits that we're going to recognize.
Yeah.
Rachel Hudson plays Mary. She also, you know, went on to do a bunch of stuff. One of the bigger ones of her credits was actually a little bit later in her career. In 1955, she was in Rebel Without a Cause.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was cool. She plays like the girlfriend's mom.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. You know, like that's a big hit there. I wanted to talk about Esther Dale, who plays Aunt Genevieve, just because I thought she was delightful.
She was fun. Yeah.
Her little giggle, like, just killed me. She, you know, worked again. She passed away in like the early 60s, and she worked all the way up till her death. Some of her more notable credits are from the Ma and Pa Kettle series, which I'm not familiar with, but, like, you know, it rings a bell.
That name sounds familiar. I feel like Dad has said that at some point as like a reference or something.
Ma and Pa Kettle. So she's a recurring character in that universe.
The MPCU, MPKCU.
There was one more really out there one that I wanted to talk about. His name is Billy Gilbert, and he's the cook. Because I thought he was simply delightful.
He was like a cartoon of an Italian chef.
And he also is in some of the bigger credits I've ever been able to talk about. He's in The Great Dictator, the Charlie Chaplin film.
Oh, wow.
And he also voices the giant in the Mickey Mouse Jack and the Beanstalk.
Oh, wow. That's
cool. Which is from Fun and Fancy Free in 1947.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some kind of fun little notable credits there.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And the butler guy as well, I thought, you know, was really fun and cute. And he is in Mary Poppins.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Which is another just absolutely massive one. He's the constable. So I don't remember. But still, he's in it.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably at least a recognizable role for someone.
And also, I should mention about this guy. His name is Arthur Treacher. He seems to have gotten into the Shirley Temple posse, because he's in like every Shirley Temple movie, which he was the only one in the cast that I found that true of. So I thought that was interesting.
Nice.
But yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if she had her own like a posse or like her crew back in the day, like people who just went around and did movies with her or just hung out with her, the crazy parties and stuff.
Yeah, man. What a life. Well,
I can tell you that the director Irving Cummings did a lot of Shirley Temple movies. I didn't like write down which ones, but he had 82 directing credits from the 20s to the 50s.
Wow.
Again, like, I'm not gonna say names of a lot of movies here because I didn't recognize a lot of them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Shirley Temple stuff, like, you know, big musicals, and then get into like horror movies a few maybe here and there, westerns, stuff like that.
Yeah.
He was also an actor before he was a director, and he had over 240 roles as an actor.
What?
A lot of them, I know, from like, you know, 1910 to like 1930. A lot of them were like shorts. Some of them were like recurring shorts. Still, that's wild. Like,
also, I guess, in the silent era, you could make a movie in like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who knows how many of those were like speaking roles or whatever.
Yeah.
This was written by, did I say that guy's name? His name was Irving Cummings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, this was written by one of the best names I think we've talked about, Patterson McNutt, who has 14 writer credits, mostly in the 30s. Again, nothing I really recognized. Also, Arthur J. Beckard was the other writer, 7 credits, nothing I really recognized, but, you know, whatever. The writing on this movie is I don't think the standout part.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, like you said, it's a plot that like, although I did keep having to think this, there's things that happen in this movie. I mean, I keep wanting to get into stuff where it's like, it seems like such a, you know, tropey thing, but I'm like, this came out like almost 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, maybe they, you know, it wasn't as much a trope back then.
Right.
Anyways, the music is by Ray Henderson. This is his only movie as a composer, but he's on the soundtrack for over 400.
I wonder how many of those are just the fucking Animal Crackers song.
Well, that's definitely one of them. He also wrote, I was looking through Bye Bye Blackbird and The Best Things in Life Are Free. So he, you know, he wrote for like stage musicals, I think.
Yeah.
And then also was just like a general sort of music guy. But I you know, some of the stuff I went, I worked backwards on his because it was 400 and I just want to look at recent stuff.
Yeah.
He had a song on The Many Saints of Newark, Dolomite Is My Name, Peaky Blinders, Gilmore Girls, A Year in the Life, Fantastic Beasts, Gotham, House of Cards, Boardwalk Empire, Mad Men, and Bioshock and Bioshock Infinite. So it kind of seems like like almost half of them are like period pieces where it's like, oh, if you want to signify that this is taking place in like the early 1900s, you're going to put a Ray Henderson song in it.
Right.
Because I guess
that's hilarious.
Yeah, that one was really funny to me. Cinematography by John F. Seitz. He has 174 credits from 1916 to 1960, nice. Which that's fun to imagine. Like that was just his career. And that's he was so doing it constantly for like his entire working life. He was a cinematographer. He's probably with one of the studios, I'm guessing, you know?
Yeah.
But anyways, in his known for section was Double Indemnity and Sunset Boulevard, which
Shit.
Those are good ones to have on your resume. I didn't see, you know, I scrolled through a little bit. I didn't see much else that I recognized, but still, you only need one, really.
Yeah.
Sunset Boulevard is amazing.
Yeah.
Spotlight, there weren't a lot to choose from.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of them even on IMDb, there weren't many, and a lot of them there were uncredited.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like back in this time, they just didn't credit everybody. They just did it.
Like, yeah. So like, it's kind of funny to be like, who knows how many people worked on this movie?
Yeah.
Like, they would have, you know, people uncredited. Those are all like the famous people who worked on it. But, you know, PAs, whatever. Like,
yeah. When it comes to like gaffers and grips and stagehands and stuff.
Yeah. No one will ever know.
Yeah.
So I chose the editor, Jack Murray. He had 59 credits, 30s, 40s, 50s. He did a lot of the other Shirley Temple stuff, but then, like I was saying, he got into like westerns, and he did The Quiet Man. I guess that's not really a western. The Quiet Man, but then The Searchers also with John Wayne, both with John Wayne. The Searchers is like an all-time classic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good on him for that. And for this, I guess. I don't know. I don't really know how to like... You seem like you were enjoying this movie a lot, or at least the actors in it.
I don't know.
you kept saying this person was a delight or this person was like great or whatever.
I thought that my favorite part of the movie was the aunt. I thought she was hilarious.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's hard to approach movies like this sometimes.
Yeah.
Because it's just so far removed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, do you want to just get into it?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, like we were saying before, the plot, such as it is, seems very generic nowadays.
Yeah. It's basically Annie. It's, you know, she's an orphan, rich guy comes and adopts her.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Except now she has like a sister there with her.
Yeah.
And there's the most like hastily, quickly wrapped up like plot about involving the sister. That was insane to me.
Yeah.
Anyways, so we start at the orphanage, right? And they're also doing this thing where I was trying to figure out if this was actually shot in color. I think it was. Because it also, you know, it looks like very early color footage.
Yeah.
And they also used to do a thing back then where they would like paint on the cells after they filmed it. But I don't think they were doing that because it never like sort of bled outside. Like the colors didn't bleed as much as they do when they do that kind of thing, I think.
Yeah.
But again, who knows? But it looks, you know, all the colors are very sort of like muted and almost like jewel tone versions of colors.
Yeah, right.
And the orphanage has one nice lady in charge and one mean lady in charge.
As is required.
And the mean one is skinny and the nice one is more sort of rotund.
As is required.
Yeah, it's classic. And I was like, why was... I mean, I guess a lot of stuff in here, I think, is just included because it'll be funny for a scene. And they just kind of like forget about it, including this horse or pony or whatever.
I mean, the whole feature, the whole thing is set pieces for Shirley Temple, right? The whole movie is just a vehicle for Shirley Temple. And that's not to say that that's not still done nowadays, you know?
Yeah.
We still do this, but yeah. So there's this whole first scene where Shirley Temple brings her favorite pony in from outside.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't catch pneumonia or whatever she says.
Pneumonia, yeah.
Pneumonia.
She asks if the horse wants a hot lemonade. And I'm like, what are you talking about? That should be what the drink Shirley Temple is, a hot lemonade.
But yeah, you know, it's just some fun hijinks in the orphanage or whatever. Yeah,
I'm glad you said hijinks because I wrote down, we got some classic old-timey hijinks music. Sam, literally, I was typing this as Sam was sitting on the couch and she was like, it sounds like you're watching Looney Tunes. And I was like, I was just typing, it sounds like Looney Tunes.
It kind of felt like watching Looney Tunes.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of felt like watching it too, but it definitely sounded like you're watching it.
It's a really well-trained horse. It gets some pretty impressive things. It's a pretty impressive performance out of this horse.
Yeah. I will say I did really laugh at the reveal in the morning that the horse was laying in bed. Yes.
Yeah. It looks so comfortable.
Yeah. And it was so chill. And at one point it like pulls the covers back onto itself.
Yeah.
It's a good horse.
Horses are smart as fuck.
And we get our first oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
And so that's
I write it down. I didn't put a D because there's no D in it. It's definitely just goodness. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I knew that she said that either. Like, I knew that about her.
Is it just she do that in all her movies or is it just this one? It's got to be.
That's what I was
like. She's fucking Larry the Cable Guy.
She like barrels the camera too when she does. She's like right into your soul and she's like, oh my goodness.
and the camera and also the other actors in this movie are not afraid to get real close to Shirley Temple's face.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that later on. Also, I did want to recognize that your Larry the Cable Guy comparison is very funny. Imagine that she's like, back in the day, people had like bumper stickers on their like little buggies that said, oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
Oh man. Geez, what else happened? Okay.
I couldn't believe it when the Animal Crackers song started.
I
didn't know that was coming. So when it started, I was like, holy fuck.
I don't know why, but I think I knew that that was going to be in this one. So I was like, of course. It's definitely longer than I thought it was going to be. There's like second and third verses. I was like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
Stretch it for time, I guess. We should say this movie is like an hour and 15 minutes long.
Yeah, and like 20 of those minutes are just songs.
Yeah, I did like stop paying attention during a lot of the songs.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, this one, she's singing Mary, who we find out, I don't think we know at this point, Mary's her sister. Mary's playing the piano.
Yes.
And then the what do they call them? The donors,
trustees. Like
the trustees
show
up, and this one old fuck is like, I hate fun and all things childlike. And
he's like, you are singing in the, you know, at mealtime or whatever.
Yeah.
And this is just a horrible thing to do. And he starts berating the teachers about like, these are the type of manners you blah 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 blah.
Mm-hmm. And he like tells off. Or Mary tells him off, or he tells her off. Well, I don't know. Yeah. She kind of stands up to him a little bit. Yeah. But he's such like a, I don't know. It just is like a reminder that for all time, old people have been fucking annoying about like, things aren't the same as they were when I was a kid.
Right. And that's his whole purpose. In the
yeah. Again, we never see him again after this scene, really. But one of the trustees they mentioned earlier is recently come into money. Like his dad died or something, I think is why he's here.
Yeah. So there's a dashing, you know, young man who recently...
Young-ish.
His dad died, and so he has boatloads of money now. He's just recently become the richest trustee on the board. So he has a lot of sway. He has
Yeah. And he's a lot cooler.
Yeah. Nice guy.
He sort of consoles Mary after, you know, that one dude was so mean to her. He's like, I love writing music also. I was in Prague and I blah, blah, blah. And she's like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And then we get that fun scene of the old guy is like striking things from the budget. What was the first thing he said?
It was like swings and a sandbox or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The lady was like, well, the children, it's hard to keep them entertained. And I was like, that's how you're gonna frame this.
Yeah, this dude's not gonna give a shit about that. But then we do see later that he thinks there is room in the budget for them to purchase some of his weird cough medicine thing that he's trying to sell. And he's just like the worst guy.
Yeah.
And then Shirley Temple does a pretty funny impression of him. And
that makes him mad again.
Yeah, I don't know. And then the rich guy fucking falls in love with this girl.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I guess, where we can start talking about this. Did this feel like weird to you at all?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot about it that is, you know, people don't touch children in this way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't, especially children that are not yours.
Yeah, a stranger, basically.
Also, yeah, people don't get left alone with strange children anymore either. That was another thing, you know. It just
And I mean, even more so than that, like the movie is structured in a way where, like, it feels like it's a love story. Like at one point, he sings a song about her, and he's imagining her in like pictures, paintings on his wall.
Yeah, that's basically next, like, right?
Yeah. I'm like, what is happening here?
That one was weird. I was like,
I thought at first he was like, you know, daydreaming about Mary because they have some sort of connection, obviously. But he's way more into Shirley Temple
and then
her character.
And then after, so he sings this weird song, and there's like, you know, all the paintings, and I guess he's in like his study or something.
Yeah,
all the paintings like turn into Shirley Temple.
But yeah,
when the song is over, there's this one on the back that you can still see that's still Shirley Temple. It's like, what?
God, that would be so much creepier if it
was. What am I looking at here? Like,
he was a stalker the whole time. He'd been like watching her from afar,
painting her. Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure it's just like it's a different time, but the whole time I was like, whoa. And he comes up with this like insane plot. I don't remember what was his justification for this. Not justification, but like, why did he do it? Like adopting her, but not telling her that he was adopting her.
Yeah, honestly, he was, I don't like, remember.
I want her to like grow up and not like, but he still told her a rich guy adopted her. Like, it's not like I wanted to grow up humble. It's like
He said he didn't want her to feel like she had to constantly be thanking him or something like that.
Okay,
I think right.
I guess that makes sense. I don't know. I mean. Yeah. Spoiler for the end of the movie, he just tells them at the end of the movie and only like a couple months has passed, so if that. Oh yeah, here's where we find out that Mary is her sister. She also promised their parents that they would never be separated, so it's a package deal. If you get one, you get the other. And he's like, well, never mind then. But like, I don't know why he doesn't like immediately adopt them.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess also, how old do you think Mary is?
Yeah, she's got to be like 20 at least. She looked like she was.
Yeah, I mean, because she's like working at the orphanage. She's not an orphan there anymore. But yeah.
It's a pretty like, broad gap. Yeah, 15 years-ish. It's pretty broad for sisters.
Yeah, how does that happen?
Especially in this time period, I feel.
Yeah, and nothing in between. Like, if you're going to have kids that far apart, you're going to have like, you know, 10 kids. Maybe they all died in the car crash too. All the other kids in the middle. Yeah. Oh, he lives with. Oh, I wanted to also touch on this. We hear a bunch of different people sing in the movie, and the Edward guy, the rich guy, has that like he talks kind of normal, but he has that singing voice of like, I just started watching the Fallout show.
Yes.
And you know that's like, I don't want to set the world on fire. Yeah, he has that kind of singing. I was taken aback.
It's way higher than you think it's gonna be. It's like way up here,
for sure. That was wild. I don't know. I feel like it's such a thing that like a guy in a movie today would never do.
Yeah.
He would want to be like singing with a cool, sexy voice or something rather than like,
right.
Oh.
Yeah. And he's got the little pencil mustache.
Yeah. I kind of like that look. I think it's pretty cool.
He's pulling it off. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Gosh, what else? Oh, he just decides that he will adopt them anyways.
Yeah. He lives on the beach. And I mean like, on beach.
Yeah, like like his backyard is the beach,
is lapping the door. It's crazy. There's a great scene of like their first dinner at the house. We're introduced to the butler, and the butler I also like a lot. I think he's hilarious.
Yeah.
And there's this whole through the whole like dinner, he's kind of like subvertly giving Curly Top like, you know, you wash your hands in the water dish or whatever, and like pull it off pretty well. He's good.
That was weird to me because she's like squeezing a lemon, right?
Yeah.
And this like, oh, lemon juice hit her in the eye, but she squeezes the lemon into the bowl and then she starts drinking. He's like, no, you wash your hands in that. And I'm like, you wash your hands.
Well,
in
now lemon it's lemon juice? Water. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, whoa, what the fuck? Yeah. How do we get so sticky?
What were we supposed to do with the lemon? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. And there's a bunch of courses. I do like that. And then she wins everyone over pretty quickly, yeah, just because she's so like, you know. And it is interesting. Oh, we skipped over that whole scene where she was like pretending to be like a fancy lady when they got out of the car. And she was like, her sister uses some word, grand lady. We're grand ladies now.
Mm-hmm.
I guess anyone with a sense of humor, she wins over. She doesn't win over like annoying pricks.
Right. Anyone we're supposed to like.
Mm-hmm.
Is it time for the concert already?
I mean, basically, there's some discussion about like, there's a funny like montage of him buying stuff for them. They go water skiing or like wakeboarding or whatever. Oh yeah, and there's sort of another weird scene here where he buys her like a hula outfit that doesn't include like a top.
Yeah,
and I was like, it's a different time.
Wearing a shirt.
It's a different time.
Yeah.
That sucks. And then. Oh, Jimmy the pilot is introduced.
Oh, Jimmy.
Who he could not have been in the movie. Because I was saying.
He could have existed in the form of a letter.
Yeah. Because they bring him in and he's like, the first scene with him, he's like, I've been spending so much time with Mary this summer.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? I have never seen you
before. Have you?
But then you see that Mary also has like a bunch of other friends. Like, where did she meet all these people?
Yeah.
And yeah, he's in love with her, whatever. And he does look closer to her age than the main guy does.
Yes,
but whatever. It kind of reminded me of what is that movie with Humphrey Bogart and Sabrina? I think.
I don't know.
Anyways, I don't know.
Yeah,
where there's like this guy that's like obviously sort of the romantic lead, but you're like, I kind of feel like this other guy's better. they're at the beach. Okay, yeah. Now is the concert.
It's just two songs. They just wanted two more songs in the movie.
Yeah.
Mary gets one and Curly Top gets one.
Yeah, I fucking fell asleep during Mary's song. But
yeah, it's whatever. She's got a pretty voice and like she's holding a ukulele for no reason, but it's fine.
She's moving her hand around in front of it. And
yeah.
I did like the what's her name again? Shirley Temple.
Yeah.
Her one. That was pretty fun. It was fun seeing her as an old lady.
It's it's cute, but that part also was a little, you know, for me, it's at the time, these are the four stages of life when you're a woman. You're a child, and then you're 16, and then you get married, and then you're a spinster.
Yeah.
Nothing in between.
Yeah, I guess. At least she didn't come out with like a fake pregnant belly. I was afraid someone like that was gonna happen.
Yeah, I guess that could have been worse. But you know, it's very
you
much
forgot
a thing
you forgot that. The well, yeah, you forgot the final stage of life, which is jump roping while tap dancing.
Oh yeah, was crazy.
That was like, really impressive.
When she was doing that shit, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy how good she is at tap dancing.
Yeah, when do you think she started tap dancing? Because she's like what, like 6 years old?
Gotta be. As soon as she could walk.
Immediately. Like her first pair of shoes was just tap shoes. Jimmy confesses he's in love with Mary. She turns him down. And then we get And I was speaking of like sort of tropes, I was like, I wonder if this is the first ever example of this in a movie where Edward's aunt is sort of needling him about like, you kind of like this lady, don't you? And he's like, what? I never liked her. I don't like her at all. Blah, blah, blah. He goes way overboard on shit talking her and she overhears it. And so she goes and does get engaged to Jimmy.
I think we got to give that one to Shakespeare.
That's true, I guess.
That happens a couple times.
Age-old tradition.
But yeah, I wrote that down too. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Because I do hate that device. It's very frustrating.
I feel like at this point, if I overheard someone talking shit about me in real life, I'd be like, I bet they secretly like me. Just because it's such a thing.
There's a little scene, my favorite scene in the entire movie, where the chef and the butler are singing the song together.
Yes. Yeah. That one is fun. And then the aunt is like, get back to work. And then it cuts to her singing the song.
Yeah.
Mary does go get engaged to Jimmy because she thinks Edward doesn't like her. Mm-hmm. And I wrote down, there's like 5 minutes left at this point. And I'm like, how are we going to wrap this up in 5 minutes?
I thought she was going to end up with Jimmy.
Yeah,
because like, have I been reading this the whole time? but what I did weirdly kind of like about the end was that Mary breaks off her engagement with Jimmy before the rich guy tells her the truth.
Mm-hmm.
She has the realization that, like, you know what? I really love this guy. And so she breaks it off. And I was like, that's honestly kind of a unique choice, I feel like, for the time, and I liked it. I feel like it gave Mary a lot of agency.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely better than, like, you know, him running into the, like, chapel in their wedding. And also that way you don't have to make the Jimmy into, like, a bad guy or whatever.
Right.
And also
unfortunately, we just never see him again.
Yeah. It almost feels like they, like, were running out of, like, reel on, like, the tape thing, and they're just like, fuck, we just gotta wrap this up.
Yeah.
Edward sings another song about Curly Top. She does a tap dance on the piano. He gives her some pearls and she's like, I don't fucking care about
this. She goes, I'd rather have roller skates, bitch.
Yeah, he's like, okay.
All right.
She's like, I want a skateboard, bro. I want to tear up the half pipe.
I want a ripstick.
And then a ripstick. She wants a skip it because she's so good at doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's how she learned. She had the original Skip It. I did mishear something earlier when she, at like the very beginning, when she's like talking to the horse and she's like, do you like this person? Do you like that person? Do you like me? She said, do you like the superintendent? But I thought she said, do you like the Super Nintendo? I was like, whoa, it's very prescient. Also, I'm pretty sure that's like a joke on The Simpsons too.
Oh, really?
But I just like, you know, it happened to me in real life. Yeah, I don't know. The movie's basically over.
Yeah, I mean, the rich guy reveals the secret.
Oh, yeah.
It's been him all along, and they're kind of just like, oh, great.
Yeah.
And then that's the end.
And then we get one last, and she doesn't say, oh, my goodness. She says, oh, my word, which is what the butler's been saying the whole time.
What a twist.
What a twist.
Oh, wow.
So, like, I don't know, man. Like, we always say it's going to be a short episode. This one really was short because fucking is, like,
there's nothing happens.
Nothing really happened.
Gets adopted by a rich guy. That's it. Yeah. I mean, I definitely, and you know, having been the first Shirley Temple movie I've ever seen, it definitely just feels like a kid's movie to me. Like,
yeah. Okay.
And again, I'm not positive what exactly the target audience for this was, but like these days, I can't really recommend that an adult go watch this.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were gonna say. Like having seen a Shirley Temple movie, I feel like I don't ever need to see another Shirley Temple movie.
I can imagine
what it would be like. Yeah. And I don't know if I'll ever watch this one again. It was not an unpleasant experience, but
no, in the same way that watching any kind of, you know, any kind of children's media is very hit or miss. Some of it's very, very good, don't get me wrong, but like.
Mm-hmm.
Not for us, so like,
yeah, yeah, this was made, like we said, this was made almost like 89 years ago. Yeah, there's no way I think that it could be, you know, a essential viewing.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, some of it is, I guess, but Yeah, it's free if you want to go see it. There's probably a lot more of hers on there too.
Look up the look up the clips of her tap dancing. Those are very impressive.
Look up the Animal Crackers song and then be amazed at how long it goes on.
But it is free.
It is free. And so go look at it if you want, I guess.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate you.
Thanks.
Give us ratings and reviews on wherever you're listening, if you can.
Yeah.
Follow us on Instagram at Broke Box Office. Send us emails to brokeboxoffice@gmail.com.
Speaking of emails,
you got it.
I have one here.
Let's hear it.
This is from this is from Karen Evans.
Oh, good.
Says, dear brothers, I wanted to write and affirm your mother's efforts during your childhood to limit person-on-person violence. It obviously works since you're both such kind, caring, nonviolent souls. Although quotes from the Close Range podcast lights, these fights are fucking sick, and I couldn't wait for him to die, or why would anyone do an upload without the gore, could call that observation into question. Also, you need to define climbing the hall, as that is not a common practice, but rather something your father made up. Which I feel like probably like
people knew what we meant.
You can imagine, you know, you pretend. Well, maybe not specifically. We used to imagine that we were like literally mountaineers.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like lay, you know, laying on the ground and climbing the hall.
Yeah, man.
Anyways, trivia from Free Fire. Number one, what is the number one mob rule? I don't know.
Don't deal with crackheads. I don't know.
Is this something that was established in the film? Like. Or is this just like your number one rule?
This is just how mobster mom reveals to us her.
I'm gonna guess based on how the movie went, probably like make sure you have backup on the way before you get there.
Yeah. Or something about like, you know, be sober. Don't work with crankheads or something.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Don't work with fucking like heroin guy.
Yeah.
Two, what three roles did Ben Wheatley fulfill for Free Fire? I'm guessing writer, director, editor.
Writer. Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Because
those are the three that are usually go together.
Yeah.
I don't, unless he was a cinematographer, but I don't think he was. What two actors in Free Fire have Oscars?
That would be
Cillian Murphy now.
Cillian Murphy now. And what's her name? Won the Oscar for Room.
Oh, Brie Larson. Yeah.
Brie Larson. Yeah.
I was trying to think, did he win an Oscar for District 9? of course not. They don't like genre movies. Which producer has an Oscar for directing a film in 2007? I fucking have no clue.
Directing in 2007.
And was a producer on Free Fire.
Did Scorsese win for The Departed in 07?
I was just thinking, because I think he was a producer.
The Departed came out in 07.
Let's say Martin Scorsese for that one.
Yeah.
What is the highlight of this podcast? reading your wonderful emails.
Reading emails from our wonderful listeners.
Yeah. That's not nice. All right. Now here's the trivia for Close Range. We got two at once here.
I'm not going to do well at this.
What were the toys you said you were not allowed to have?
Toy guns.
Yeah. I was going to say Power Rangers, but yeah, toy guns.
No guns.
I was maybe looking at the next one. What is the fighting tactic you refer to as the Ninja Turtle problem? Which I feel like we've talked about this many, many times on the show. You called it something else at one point, didn't you?
Did I?
I don't know.
I always think of it as like the Star Wars problem.
Yeah.
Like the throne room scene with like Kylo Ren and Rey.
Yeah.
That's that's like the poster child scene for this that I always think of.
What it is when you have like a fist fight or like a, you know, close range fight between like mismatched numbers of people. Usually it's like one versus like, you know, several. With the Ninja Turtles, it was always like four versus like 20.
Yeah.
You could have the person, especially when the Ninja Turtles, it was bad because they couldn't see shit in those suits. They would be fighting one person at a time. Like the people would always run in one person, they would get beat up, and then the next person would come in, they'd beat them up, and the next person would come in. And meanwhile, in the background, you just see people like sort of like, waiting for an opening, I guess they're supposed to be. But
watching the way that modern action movies subvert that trope is one of my favorite things
ever. Yeah, dude. That's the best thing about the Raid movies.
Yep. And the John Wick franchise. Yeah. And like, you know, I think about like Atomic Blonde and like, it's all about the situations that you put your action heroes in. You gotta be precise about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even like even how you shoot it, because you can you can have a like, oh, it's me and there's like 20 guys, and then if you shoot it close up where you're just fighting the one guy, you're not really thinking about like, well, what are these other dudes doing at this point?
Yeah, it's a storytelling tactic.
Yeah, you just don't have them in the background like, whoa. That's the main problem. What was Zach referring to when he said, imagine any old-time Western, and that is it?
Oh, there's got to be the standoff at the end.
I actually think it was the music.
Because
the music was so, like, generically, like, wow, 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 wow. And, well, here might be, what scene in the movie did Luke say felt like 10 minutes?
Maybe that's the
That might be the standoff at the end. All right, here's the answer. It answers, for Free Fire, the number one rule of being a mobster, don't bring a wacky wild card to a shootout. Which I think we covered that, basically.
We basically got that.
Director, writer, editor was Ben Wheatley. Cillian Murphy, Brie Larson won the Oscar. Scorsese won the Oscar for The Departed.
Hey! Wait.
What?
I'm so impressed with myself that I just...
Got
that so quick.
2007. I would never... I cannot...
The Departed is one of my favorite movies ever. So that's the only reason
I never remember years that movies come out. And apparently the last question, what was the highlight of the podcast? Was apparently my crazy accents. I was just doing, I think... What was it?
Probably just mostly Charlton Copley's.
I'm gonna get you, you motherfucker!
Ifrica's not for sissies.
And then, okay. Oh, I was right. It was Power Rangers for the toys we weren't allowed to have, but also fake guns we weren't allowed to have.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, obviously the Ninja Turtle problem we covered generously. The soundtrack, and then the final standoff. Yeah, I think we nailed this. Was I think a good level of trivia good for us.
Trivia.
Trying to remember things that we like said or did. No, why didn't you do any trivia? We did Free Fire and you did Close Range, but you didn't do any for the movie we covered in between that.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah. Don't do that. Do one for this one. I don't want to have to remember that movie.
Don't. I never want to think about it again.
Anyways. Thanks for emailing. If you read it, send any email, we'll read it on the show, no matter what it is, because we don't get that many.
Yep.
And look at this. This was a perfect time for this one because it's only like 45 minutes in and we've already done everything. Thanks, Shirley Temple.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening and come back next week or month or whenever, which we will be talking about. I found something interesting that I want to watch. I don't remember where I found this, but it seems very strange. And a lot of my weirdo friends on Letterboxd rated it very highly.
Yeah.
It's a movie. It is where is it from? Estonian. It's called the English title is called The Dead Mountaineers Hotel.
Okay. And
this one, I don't know if you can find it on YouTube, but I found a link to it on the Internet Archive. If you go to archive.org, look for Dead Mountaineers Hotel and check that out and we'll talk about it.
Nice. That sounds awesome. Should be
funky and crazy. I don't really know much about it, but we'll see.
Something a little different. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. All right, everyone. We'll talk at you then. Have some animal crackers in your soup.
Have some animal crackers.
Animal crackers.
I wish he would have sung the animal crackers song. Man.
It's funny to go back and look at like Kermit the Frog and be like, I think that's what he's essentially doing.
That's just what people used to sound like when they sang.
Yeah.
He just had a normal voice back in the day. Woo.
Oh, man.
All right, bye.
Bye.
End recording.